in this church and in every place this message will be heard tonight. Reveal to us the meaning of the word and apply it in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated around the church tonight. I want us to start 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So let's hold there for a second. What is the core doctrine of the church? What's the glue that holds all of this together? The glue is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him risen. Are we together on this? Amen. This is the glue that holds Christianity together. Verse 5. And that He was seen as Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Meaning that many who saw Jesus when Paul wrote this were still among the living. Verse 7. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So what do we see here? We see an emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus. To the apostle Paul, it is a vital part of church doctrine to stress the resurrection of Jesus. We're not going to look at this chapter in detail tonight. In the coming weeks, we will be. But the overriding driving force of the Apostle Paul in talking about the resurrection is to establish it as a doctrine of the church. It is a vital and key doctrine of the church. Are we still here?
Amen.
Now, let's go to the book Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 20 when we get there. Acts chapter 1, verse 20. This is before the day of Pentecost. The church, even though it has technically started, they have not yet began to minister to the public. This is the business meeting that they held before they began to minister to the public. What was the key point in this business meeting? And it goes beyond Matthias, chapter 1, verse 20, where it said, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." Referring to the death of Judas and the soon-to-be appointment of Matthias to be the next disciple. Verse 21. "Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning at the baptism of John, unto the same day that He was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of this" what? Resurrection. So what is Peter establishing in the church? That this new apostle, Matthias, he need to be with them when John baptized Jesus at the River Jordan. And he needed to also have been there when Jesus ascended back to the Father. But Peter wasn't interested in Matthias being a witness of Jesus being baptized by John. Even though it was important for Matthias to have witnessed the ascension, the point Peter wanted to make home drive surely was what? His resurrection. In other words, the church was going to establish the ministry of Jesus. And they were going to establish that God raised Jesus from the dead. The job of Matthias. Yes, he would mention Jesus' baptism by John. Yes, he would mention all the miracles and all the teachings of Jesus. Yes, he would mention Jesus' death on the cross. Yes, he would mention the ascension. But he would also drive home the point that God raised Jesus from the dead. As far as Peter is concerned, this is a glue doctrine of the church. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him risen from the dead. Anyone who was going to be an apostle at that point needed to be a witness of the resurrection. Now, we as believers in Jesus, before we go any further, why can we be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus? We can be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Yes, we were not there when God raised Jesus from the dead. But the Spirit is inside of us. And this Spirit bears witness that God raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit inside of us is the witness that God raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit inside of us is our witness that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's why we can emphasize this as part of the glue doctrine of the church. Are we still here? Let's go over one page. Acts chapter 2. Let's start with verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. In Acts chapter 2, the first part of the chapter, what do we see? We see the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The believers receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We see the community gathering together, listening to these believers, all Galilean, who are speaking in languages that they should not have been speaking in. Then they ask, what does this mean? Some said they're drunk. What was Peter's response? This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. When we look at what Peter said on that day, it begins with this explanation. This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. But then Peter begins what would become the first sermon of the church era. This is a sermon delivered by Peter to those who had witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus, but had not yet really realized that God raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. First line, verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pain of death. So what is Peter establishing here? Not just that Jesus died on a cross. That's something the audience probably knew. He's establishing the resurrection of the dead. But not just any resurrection. God hath raised up. God having loosed the pains of death. Who is the one who raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father. This is a key. This isn't just Jesus getting up. I'm tired of being dead. I'll get up now. No. This is God the Father sending a message to mankind. When we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, this is God sending a message to mankind. This is my Son. What my Son has done will bring forgiveness of sins. It will bring everlasting life. This is key and vital. Verse 25. For David spoke concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Verse 27. Because you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would what? Raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So what do we see here? We see Peter establishing from the Old Testament the importance of God raising Jesus from the dead. In order for the resurrection to be true and vital, it must be established in the Old. Now remember what Jesus did in Luke 24, when he first gathered with his apostles and believers on the day he rose from the dead, on day 3, Jesus expounded from the scriptures everything about his death on the cross and how God would raise him from the dead. So what Peter is saying here, we can safely assume that Jesus taught this to them on the day of his resurrection, and not just them. Remember the road to Emmaus, how Jesus expounded to them more fully about what had happened to them in English. He had taught them about his death on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. What Peter is doing here, he is giving the teaching that Jesus gave regarding this subject and connecting this with his resurrection from the dead. Verse what? verse 31. He's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. When Jesus died, when he gave up the ghost, what happened? Jesus, he did not go to the torment side of hell. If you remember Luke 16, in Luke chapter 16, we see the account of Lazarus, Abraham, and the rich man. The rich man died and he was in the torment side of hell. That's where sinners went. Abraham and Lazarus was in the section called paradise, which was not the torture side of hell. This is the place where the righteous went. Now, keep in mind that Jesus did not sin, that he was never a sinner. He became the sin offering for those who believe. What is Jesus for us? Our sin offering. Are we together on this? Now, when Jesus died, where did he go? He went to the paradise side and he preached to the captives. He preached to Abraham. He preached to Isaac. He preached to Jacob. He preached to all who was there, including Lazarus. I mean, of all of the names in the Old Testament, minus two, Jesus preached to them. Remember that Enoch and Elijah were caught up separately. But everyone else, Jesus preached to personally, including David, the one who wrote, "You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." So what's going to happen here? We see that Jesus, his soul was not left in hell. Why? Because when God raised him from the dead, his soul left paradise. Are we together on this? Before Jesus went to the cross, if you were a believer in Jesus, if you were a believer in God, your soul went to where? Paradise. In those days, to be absent with the body was to be in paradise. But Jesus preached to the captives and led captivity captive. Are we together on this? Amen. There is no concept of soul sleep here at all. These went to paradise. Then what happened? God raised Jesus from the dead. His soul, which was in where? Paradise, is now back in a glorified body, which did not see corruption because Jesus was raised on the third day. Bodies don't decompose that quickly. On day four, yeah, but not on day three. The body was still intact. It did not decompose when God raised Jesus from the dead. What happened? He now lives forevermore. Now let's tie what we just saw to what happens now. What did Jesus say in John chapter 5, which we'll get into in another sermon in a few days? Jesus said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's to the church. Now in the Old Testament era, until Jesus paid the sin debt, to be absent from the body was to be in where? Where was Lazarus? Paradise. Until Jesus led them out of paradise. Now, where do the dead who are right in Christ go? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, when the believer dies, we are with Jesus. Then, when the trump sounds, yes, the whole church will be together as one group in glorified bodies through all eternity. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Are we still here? Now let's keep going here. We have what? Jesus. The old said, you will not leave my soul in hell. So why did Jesus leave paradise? God brought Jesus out of there. Are we together on this? You will not leave my soul in hell. You will not cause your Holy One to see corruption. This ties back into the third day resurrection. Jesus needed to be raised before 3 days because his body would start to decompose, and the promise was that the body would not decompose, and his body did not decompose. Are we still here? The prophecy came true exactly as written. How do we know? Peter saw Jesus. James saw Jesus. The women saw Jesus. All of the disciples saw Jesus. The men on the road to Emmaus saw Jesus. 500 witnesses, according to the Apostle Paul, who probably ran into a fair amount of them when he was Saul of Tarsus arresting people, could verify that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is not a case of just 12 witnesses. This is safely a case of at least 600 plus witnesses that God raised Jesus from the dead. This isn't take my word of a few. When we're talking about 600 plus people, we're talking about a lot of people. Personally, I think the number's probably a little higher. I'm just going off of what Paul gave. They verified that the resurrection was true. And what Peter is establishing here is that the resurrection of Jesus is going to be a vital part of church doctrine. Are we still here? The doctrine of the church is going to embrace the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Everyone who was there on the day of Pentecost. Now let's go back a page. I know it's easy to say, oh, it's just a few. But what do we see in parentheses in Acts 1:15? The number of names together were about 120. 120 witnesses of the resurrection. That's where I was getting the 600 plus number from. 500 plus 120. We're easily over 600. All of those who were standing with Peter on the day of Pentecost, they were witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. We are all witnesses, and they're backing up Peter. When Peter is establishing this as a linchpin doctrine of the church. Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Time out. Why do the disciples know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father exalted? What did Jesus say in the Gospel of John? I will ask the Father. We're close to there. Let's go there real fast. Gospel of John. Are we still here? No one's bugged out the internet. Good. John chapter 14. And let's start at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but ye know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, what happened when Jesus ascended to the Father? We know from Psalm 110 that Jesus was placed at the right hand of the Father. Let me read that since I'm in a reading mood tonight. Psalm 110. Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We're familiar with this concept, right? Now what was verse 1? Sit thou at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. God the Father said to Jesus the Son, sit thou at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So what happens? Jesus ascends back to the Father. Acts chapter 1. God the Father places Jesus at His right hand. Psalm 110 verse 1. Jesus then asked the Father to send down the Holy Spirit so His believers will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14. Now what happens in Acts chapter 2, believers receive baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Jesus personally asked the Father at His right hand to send the Holy Ghost down to us. The beginning of Jesus making intercession for the believers is Jesus asking His Father to send the Holy Ghost to the believers. The baptism in the Holy Ghost. Are we still here? Now, let's put this all together. The believers in Acts 2 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is the conclusion that Peter makes? The conclusion is that Jesus must be at the right hand of the Father, with Psalm 110 verse 1 being fulfilled, and Jesus having asked the Father to send the Spirit, which fulfills John 14, and now this is happening in Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. The believers receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, why can this happen? Let's establish this. Did Jesus ascend back to His Father prior to the events of His crucifixion? We know in Matthew 17 that Jesus was transfigured. And Peter, James, and John saw him as he was. But God did not take Jesus with him at this point. Why? Because Jesus is still in his flesh and blood body, having not yet paid the sin debt. Now Jesus goes to the cross. He pays the sin debt. Then what happens? On the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. And what condition was Jesus in when God raised Jesus from the dead? Jesus, now glorified body. So when ascension happens, Jesus is in his glorified body. Jesus cannot ascend to the right hand of the Father until the events of the cross and the events of the resurrection. Jesus cannot be placed at the right hand of the Father until after the resurrection. Jesus cannot ask for us to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost until after the resurrection. Then the ascension can happen. Let's go one step further. Jesus now can make intercession for us. Why? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. Back to verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, possible because God raised Jesus from the dead, possible because Jesus, now raised from the dead, is ascended and at the right hand of the Father. He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at thy right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. What we saw in Psalm 110, verse 1. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, both Lord and Christ, the whole sin. Jesus pays the sin debt. He is raised from the dead. His body not seeing corruption. His soul not staying in the paradise side of hell. He is raised from the dead. And now, having ascended back to the Father, because he is raised from the dead, he can now sit at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Why do we know that Jesus is both Lord and Christ? What was the point Peter kept driving home? Jesus is Lord and Christ because God raised Jesus from the dead. Are we together on this? Now, the doctrine that Peter is establishing here is really the whole gospel doctrine. What was in this message? One, Jesus is Christ and Lord. Two, that Jesus died on a cross. Three, that God raised Jesus from the dead. 4, that Jesus ascended to the Father. 5, that Jesus was placed on the right hand of the Father by the Father Himself. 6, believers baptized in Holy Ghost. Evidence, speaking in tongues. 7, because all of this happened, everyone in that audience can receive remission of sins, a complete pardon. The whole picture that we just saw, Jesus the Christ, the Lord. Jesus, His shed blood on the cross. His resurrection. His ascension back to the right hand of the Father. Him being placed on the right hand by the Father. Us being baptized in the Holy Ghost. The gospel preached with Holy Ghost power. End result, what? Remission of sins. The core being what? Jesus Christ. Him crucified. Him buried. Him risen again the third day. As a church, we embrace this core doctrine. And we stand here saying that since God raised Jesus from the dead, we can live and have resurrection life. And we're going to be spending a lot of time on this because we need to embrace the concept of resurrection life. God raised Jesus from the dead, not for us to stay dead, but to have resurrection life. And we're going to embrace this because this is the positive nature of the gospel. We serve a risen Savior. And not just that. Because He lives, we live also. And we can celebrate this resurrection life that we now have. The life that I now live. I live. Why? Because of what Jesus did and His resurrection to go along with the sacrifice on the cross gives us forgiveness, life now, and life into eternity. Let's stand across the church tonight. Hallelujah.